Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
What do you think you are? I am.
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bellanote Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Welcome into On the Docket on a Tuesday edition of the program. Pistons in action last night, whatever that was. Gonna break that one down. Tigers and Mets starting a three-game series tonight. NFL schedule starting to trickle in. We do know two specific dates for some Lions games this season. Then NBA and NHL playoff notes as the second round still rolling on along. Some teams starting to get eliminated, including one team that I'm particularly happy about. Really one player I'm happy got eliminated last night. But we're going to start, as you already know, with the Pistons and Cavs in Game 4 of their second-round series. Pistons with a 2-1 lead, looking to take a commanding 3-1 series lead going back home for Game 5. But that is not what happened. 112-103. A game that was a lot uglier than what that final score indicated. And some of the numbers a little deceiving in this one. And as I was following along with the numbers in the first half, you know, the Pistons consistently only had a real slim lead. But they were shooting a lot better than the Cavs. They had the rebounding edge, points in the paint edge, fast break. But it's like it doesn't make sense. Based on some of these numbers, it appeared the Pistons should have a lot larger lead than, you know, maybe only, you know, 3, 4, 5 points. Should have been a lot more than that. At least you would think again. But what the Pistons did to the Orlando Magic, I would more so, I don't know if I want to say it was more like the third quarter of Game 2 where they went on that 30-3 run, or if it was that that's the entire second half, really, that they had in Game 6 of that Orlando Magic series, where it was just total one-sided domination. Well, the Pistons had that done to them last night. Pistons led by 4 at halftime at 56-52. And it would be well into the third quarter before the Pistons would finally get to more than 56 points. They were at 56 points for quite some time, but the Cavs, more specifically Donovan Mitchell, came out red hot out of halftime, and before you know it, that 4-point halftime lead was history. And it pretty significantly flipped the other way, 21-point lead for the Cavs, just like that. A 24-0 run for the Cavs to start the second half. It was just a nightmare for this Pistons team. But despite that, it wasn't like it was totally out of reach. The Pistons, once they finally got going again, they were able to pull around 10 points, you know, 11, 12 points in there towards the end of the third quarter, but then a poor finish. Just like that, you're going into the fourth, behind the eight ball a little bit, and even though the final score got pretty close there, Pistons pulling to within 8 in, what, the last minute? But that was a bench game at that point, clearly too little too late. The Pistons waited about 2 or 3 minutes of game time too long before going on a run like that. So that's the ball game. And a rare game where the Pistons actually they shot, I would say, significantly better than the Cavs, but scoreboard didn't reflect it, and there's one main difference. So Pistons, 51% from the floor, 44% from three. Cavs, meanwhile, only 44 and 34% respectively, but the big difference, free throws. Just 9 of 12 from the line for the Pistons, 30 of 34 for the Cavs. Wow. So that's where that main difference comes up from. Way more trips to the line for the Cavs. I mean, 15 of those alone coming from Donovan Mitchell. And this is a guy who complained after game one that he doesn't get the call, which is a pretty interesting. I mean, not saying that it was, you know, totally horrific last night. But, no, man, free throws, just continuous march to the line. Huge difference right there. But yeah, again, otherwise, you would think this would have been a little bit more in favor of the Pistons. Slight rebounding edge. A plus 16 points in the paint edge. The only other main difference was the turnovers, but not even that. It wasn't even that severe. Pistons committed 20 turnovers. The Cavs only committed to 15, and that was only a 25-20 edge on points off turnovers for the Cavs. So it's not like that was that stark. But, man, Donovan Mitchell, this guy is stepping up to the occasion. He's had a big series so far. Starting in game two, obviously, which ended up being a loss, he took over for the team in the second half. Finished with 31 in that one. And then he had a big game in game three on Saturday. 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists on 13 of 24 shooting. And then this was a big one. As a matter of fact, I think at one point he was 0 for 6 when I looked at the stats at one point in the first half. 0 for 6 shooting. Yeah, ended up finishing with 43. 13 of 26 shooting. 13 of 15 from the free throw line. 39 of those 43 points coming in the second half alone. So this guy was just unstoppable. Pistons couldn't do anything with this guy. But he is going to be key. If the Pistons want to try to flip this back in their favor, they need to find a way to slow this guy down, Donovan Mitchell. Force the Cavs to create from elsewhere. And we know the Cavs have some different options. I mean, James Harden did have 24 points, but only 5 of 14 shooting. Went 9 of 9 from the free throw line. So if you remove those free throws, I mean, hey, do the math right there. I mean, it really was really just those two guys. I mean, Evan Mobley, solid all-around game, 17, 8, and 5 on 6 of 11 shooting. 5 blocks, 3 steals. So he had a big game on the defensive end more than anything. But I think the other part of it is a defending without fouling. Not really many trips for the line for the Pistons overall. Especially, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, as I mentioned, more free throw attempts than the Pistons overall. Now, the first half, saving grace for the Pistons was, funny enough, Caris LeVert. Haven't really said this guy's name much this season. He's been, pretty solid backup, around 20 minutes per game. But he picked a pretty good time to have his season high of scoring. 24 points last night off the bench. 10 of 16 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3. He was great in this one. You know who also was great and who definitely needs to get more minutes in this series? Paul freaking Reed. Unbelievable. 7 of 9 shooting, 15 points in only 14 minutes, 7 rebounds and 2 assists. This guy's been phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I would argue this guy is doing some of the things that we should be expecting Jalen Duren to be doing. Duren, meanwhile, very quiet night. Had 5 fouls, but 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists only. And I mentioned that's been a consistent thing in these playoffs. Is that just Jalen Duren's offensive fall-off has been like, what is going on here? But Paul Reed, he's making it awfully hard to keep him off the floor in this series. And I think the Pistons need to utilize a little bit more of that size against this much taller Cleveland Cavaliers team. Even though Paul Reed himself is not the biggest guy. He's only 6'9". But, I mean, just the things that this guy's doing. He's a junkyard dog. You got to play him more. So he had a great game off the bench in this one. Cade Cunningham, first time all playoffs that he's been held under 20 points. 19, 7 of 16 shooting, 5 turnovers, 6 assists, and 3 rebounds. Otherwise, Tobias Harris, he had a very poor shooting game as well. 6 of 17 from the floor, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. And I think the main thing that stood out to me of this game last night was the... And I've noticed this in the even in the Orlando series as well. The Pistons just feel too casual, almost. Like their body language seems more like this was a Tuesday night in February was more the body language that we saw of the Pistons last night. It seemed like the Cavs, you just say what you want about the way that they played overall. They showed up. They play with energy. They play hungry. But I just haven't not really gotten those vibes from the Pistons in the playoffs. Even when they were really rolling against the Magic, obviously had to overcome a 3-1 deficit in that series. But still just a very casual feel for this Pistons team. So they fall. Now a 2-2 tie in the series after a, again, historic second half for Donovan Mitchell. But the Pistons need to find a way to slow him down. This now becomes a best-of-three series with two of the three games played in Detroit. This is a Cavs team that has only won home games this playoff run. That's right. The entire seven-game Toronto Raptors series, the home game won all seven games. And it's been no exception in this series. And we saw early on, really the first three games of this series, that the Cavs were a pretty sloppy team, Pistons taking advantage in the fast break. And that's, we didn't see that really last night. You had that feeling that the Cavs were going to be tightening up at some point. And I keep beating this dead horse, but the playoffs are all about adjustments. The Cavs have clearly made their adjustments. More slowly but surely. It's not like they made drastic changes overnight from game to game. But you can kind of see this starting in game two. You know, they're trying to really capitalize on their size advantage in the paint. And we could really see that last night with the way that they've defended the Pistons in the paint, forcing them to shoot a lot more jump shots than they probably like. And then, of course, trying to get Donovan Mitchell going, which he's a terrific scorer. He's been scoring very well in this series. Historically has against the Pistons as well, for that matter. So, what are the adjustments that the Pistons need to make back? Well, again, I think they need to find ways to get the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands. Try to give him some different looks. Force somebody else to beat you. Let's let James Harden beat this Pistons team. Yeah, I feel a lot more confident with that guy taking a bunch of shots. Because he has not been good in this series. But the other key is, how do we get this this paint advantage shifted back in the Pistons' favor? I think getting Paul Reed some more run will go a long way in that. Again, it when I see Paul Reed playing in this series, that's more what I imagine Durant should be doing and what he was doing in the regular season, but he's just not doing in the playoffs. When I mentioned the Pistons feeling pretty casual in the playoffs, that's what I get, the vibes I get from Jalen Durant. It just feels too casual. It's like we're waiting for him to kick it into that next gear, but he just hasn't yet. So get the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands. Pistons need to try to figure out a way to get this this paint situation figured out. Even if they try to play two bigs, you know, maybe mix up some Durin and Stewart minutes out there. Even maybe if you want to go bench, maybe even some Stewart and Reed minutes. Even Durin and Reed, just mix and match. Try to match the size out there. And the Pistons, they got to try to crank up this intensity. Because as we've seen, the Pistons have done good when they're taking advantage of the Cavaliers being sloppy, a lot of turnovers. But when you have a game like last night where they take a lot better care of the ball, and you have to rely on your half court to create opportunities, I mean, the Cavs locking down that paint, it's forcing the Pistons to adjust. I mentioned this, too, in some of those regular season matchups with the Spurs, and you could see the single-handed impact that Victor Wembanyama had, just single-handedly locking down the paint against the Pistons, and it forces the Pistons to really change their whole style. Even though we saw them get the edge in the points in the paint, still. But as I mentioned, it's now a best of three series. Two of these three games at home against a team that can't seem to win on the road. Pistons really need to channel that home cooking here in game five tomorrow night. Got to take that 3-2 lead. This is a huge one. Then you've got to go on the road to get that one. I don't feel comfortable with this game going to game seven. I don't think anybody really does for either side. But I'm confident the Pistons can get it done. I did have the Pistons in six really anyways. I had that feeling it was probably going to be about a six-game series. And this one, even when the Cavs have played well in this one, they are far from being an unbeatable team. But the Pistons just got to tighten a bolt here. Shore up the foundation over there. I think the Pistons will be fine. But how do they slow down Donovan Mitchell? All starts with him, because he's had a phenomenal series against the Pistons, scoring the ball especially. 39 points in a single half is crazy. Game 5 tomorrow, 8 o'clock tip-off. Live coverage right here on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM from Little Caesars Arena. Huge one in determining who is going to move on and take the Knicks on in the Eastern Conference Finals. Going to switch gears to the Major League Baseball on the other side. Tigers, 3-game series tonight on the road against the worst team in baseball, and we're the most expensive New York Metropolitans. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bono T Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Kettlebell Hotspot, where you can build raw functional strength and core stability, improve your cardiovascular endurance and metabolic conditioning, and enhance your mobility, balance, and coordination. You're building strength that actually helps you in your day-to-day life. You do some exercises at the gym. I mean, sure, you're building some strength, but are you applying that energy in areas that are actually going to help you in your day-to-day life? Well, you will be at Kettlebell Hotspot. Join the team today. That's Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor, where your functional fitness begins. Tigers back in action tonight. They had a day off yesterday. Thankfully, a day to rest up. But they start a series tonight against the Mets. And the Mets, of course, season has not quite gone their way. Now, you could argue, obviously, the Tigers, they also have not had the season go their way, especially with injuries. But despite that, the Tigers are not only in a very weak division, only a game and a half back, So, two games back now of the Cleveland Guardians for first place in the division, but they're right there in the even the wild card standings. So besides the Rays and the Yankees, the entire American League is floundering right now. You have the Rays and the Yankees over 60% win percentage. And then you have the A's and Guardians just barely over 500. And that's it. Four teams with a winning record in the entire American League. 11 teams with a losing record. So that at least provides some sort of optimism and grace for this Tigers team. Like, hey, if they can just survive the next couple of weeks with these injuries, once they hopefully do get healthy at some point, if they can turn it on, then bam, the season, the Tigers will be fine. I think most any other year, if the Tigers get off to a start like this, it's like, uh-oh, we really got to start worrying about what the rest of the season is going to look like. Do we have a trade deadline where the Tigers sell off some pieces a little bit? So on and so forth. But the Tigers, despite their injury troubles, still right in the mix of things. I mean, we'll certainly take it. Now, the Mets, on the other hand, it's a completely different story. This is one of the most expensive teams in baseball. Now, they did go over a little bit of an off-season overhaul. They gained Bo Bichette from the Toronto Blue Jays, and then they lost Pete Alonso to the Baltimore Orioles. But regardless, still a very expensive team. And despite that, yikes, this team is bad. Of course, they did go through a good stretch where they didn't have Juan Soto, one of the best players in baseball, but they went through a long losing streak where they lost 12 games in a row. Not exactly what you want when you're one of the most expensive teams in the major leagues, but they've still been kind of floundering as of late. Worst record in all the major leagues, 15-25. Just beneath the Angels and Astros, who have a 16-26 record each. So yeah, the Mets, oof. That's what I'm saying. The Tigers, the entire American League is pretty mediocre right now. And then the fact that they have a pretty easy schedule, manageable schedule, over the next several weeks, the rest of this month. So even though the Tigers are dealing with all these injuries, I mean, they still have picked a pretty good time to have those kick in during a pretty down part of their schedule. So looking at this series in terms of the pitching order, the pitching rotation, it's going to be Jack Flaherty today for the Tigers making the start. And it definitely helps having the game off yesterday. Hypothetically, if the Tigers had to play yesterday, just go right into this three-game series with the Mets, they probably would have had to do another bullpen game. But with that day off, helps you rearrange things with your rotation. Because as it's lining up right now, it's looking like Flaherty tonight, Valdez tomorrow. That is the earliest that he can return from his 5-game suspension for throwing at Trevor Story of the Red Sox. So he should be back tomorrow, and then Kader Montero should be on the mound in Thursday's game to wrap up this series. So at least the Tigers are getting some consistent actual starters in this series. Going to be some question marks in this weekend series against the Blue Jays at home. I would imagine it's probably going to be another case where we have two bullpen games in there. And then probably Flaherty to wrap up the series on Sunday. But again, AJ Hinch's got a lot of work to do, a lot of work on his hands to try to patch this pitching injury situation. And as I mentioned, it's really important for these starters in this series to eat up as many innings as possible. And that's a pretty tall order, especially a guy like Jack Flaherty, who only once this season has been able to go past the sixth, really make it through six innings. Several times he pitches under that, and it's usually that one big inning. Pretty solid for three or four innings, and then bam, just gets lit up. And it just, everything spirals out of control. Did have not too bad of a game in his last start against the Red Sox. Two runs in five innings, two earned runs, I should say. He allowed two other runs that were unearned, so those are not really on him. That raises a question about the larger defensive issues with this Tigers team. 10 strikeouts and one walk. So one of the finer performances for Jack Flaherty in his last start, and it's like you just kind of had that hope. It's like, all right, can he carry that momentum over into this next game? But you all remember what my thing was last season with Jack Flaherty. He's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. The Forrest Gump clip that I kept playing with him last season. Because it was. There was a stretch last season where it was like every other game. He'd be terrific one start, and then the very next start, awful. And then great, and then like literally back and forth. So we'll see what you get. But regardless, as I mentioned, even if he has a little bit more of a rough start, need to try to stay in at least five, six innings in this one. Eat up as many of those innings as you can. Save your bullpen arms, because you're going to have likely two bullpen games coming up this weekend. Got to save those guys as much as possible. So we'll see what they do in this one. In the meantime, again, another look at the positional injured list. You got Kerry Carpenter, who's on the 10-day IL. He's going to be out for a little bit. Gleyber Torres as well. And then Javi Baez, still waiting for this guy to come back. He has not played since April 28th. So that's obviously around, 15 days ago. Have not really had a update on him since, on when we can expect Javi Baez back. Good to get a utility guy like him back in the fold. So we'll see. But the Tigers, they have to clean up the defense. Way too many, not only errors this season, but unearned runs. I feel like the Tigers allow way more unearned runs than other teams in baseball. I probably should have done some more research on that before making that point definitively. But just based on the eye test, this has been a huge issue with this Tigers team this season, for whatever reason. But you got to shore that up. These pitchers have to have a strong defense behind them. Hopefully the Tigers get a good game out of Flaherty at the very least. Hopefully he eats up at least five or six innings in this one. And then if the Tigers get a good game out of Flaherty, they better not blow it. It's the problem. It seems like Flaherty, even if he has a pretty decent game, they just tend to lose each and every time. As a matter of fact, I don't know if the Tigers have won a single game this season that Flaherty has pitched in. I'm actually going through, clicking in his games right here. Looks like they did win one in that first Kansas City series. They won one in the St. Louis series as well. So two wins in the eight total Jack Flaherty starts. You've won two of those. Again, not saying those are all on him, but man, got to get this series going off on the on the right foot, got to get this win. And then you're looking good in the next two games with Valdez, who hopefully has a bounce back game after his suspension, and then Montero, who's been great this year. But we'll see. So Flaherty on the mound, it looks like, for the Tigers tonight, opposed by Freddy Peralta, who spent his entire career with the Brewers before this season. Pretty decent numbers, 3.12 ERA, 1.20 whip in 43 innings, 8 starts. Tigers, go get it done. 7:10 first pitch. Live coverage right here, as always, on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Going to chat NFL on the other side as the schedule's starting to come out. NFL dropping a couple of key dates so far, including a couple Lions games in there. I believe I saw somewhere on social media the official Lions schedule is going to be coming out on Friday, I believe, which, I mean, makes sense. So we'll see, but we'll take a look at some of those games, some other comments that we saw from Amon-Ra St. Brown over the weekend as well. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettleball Hotspot, Bono, Thiever Cervante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Polly's Country Markets. See the deals online and sign up for My Market Rewards. Start saving even more in-store today. Country-Markets.com. You can also get the weekly sales sent directly to your email. Country-Markets.com for Pauly's Country Markets. See one of the convenient locations around Jackson County today. NFL schedule starting to take shape as they're starting to trickle out a couple of games here and there. And we'll see later this week the full schedule. We already know the opponents for each team, of course, but when they will play each opponent will defer. So one of the games that we know of is their game in Germany. Yes, the Lions playing a game in Germany this season. They don't have an opponent yet, but they do have a date and time of that game. And it comes at a very interesting time, a very crushing part of their schedule, grueling part of their schedule, which is not good in terms of the injury problems that this Lions team has historically had the last couple of seasons. So the Lions game in Germany, November 15th. Why is this a problem, you ask? Well, this means the Lions are looking at potentially 3 games in 11 days. Because they got November 15th, which is week 10. They got week 11. And then week 12, which will be their Thanksgiving Day game on November 26th. So, yeah, you're looking at a crazy stretch right there for the Lions, potentially. Depending on how they do the bye, will they squeeze the bye in between? I would hope so, especially with that international travel. So that's one game that has been released for the Lions schedule. Other release of a game that we've seen is week 2. The Lions are getting another Thursday night football game. It'll be against the Buffalo Bills. That'll actually be the first game for the Bills at their brand new stadium, Highmark Stadium. So week 2, Thursday night football. Those are the two games we know of right now. And that's going to be a fun one. Last time these two teams matched up, very high scoring. It's when Josh Allen really lit up the Lions' defense that season. But now the Lions got to go in their joint. Brand new joint. So we'll see what happens there. Again, we've seen some other games. Week one, Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Broncos is a game that has come out. Apparently Eagles and Cowboys is going to be one of the Thanksgiving Day games, which that should be a pretty fun matchup. Giants and Cowboys, Sunday Night Football in week one. Notable because that'll be the first game with John Harbaugh as head coach of the New York Giants after his ousting as head coach of the Baltimore Ravens forever. That's another game that we've seen. So again, they're slowly trickling in some games here and there. And I'm assuming we will have some more that will come out in the next few days to try to tease the schedule. And then again, I believe Friday, that's when the actual full schedule will be released and we'll see the full slate of games for this Lions team. We'll see what they get. I always like to look forward to the release videos as well that different teams do. The schedule release videos on social media. Teams do get pretty creative with that. I think I've seen a few it's been done a few different times. Different sports, NBA, NFL teams will do this, but they'll go to random people on the street and they'll show them the logo of a team. And they'll give their best guess as to what that team's mascot is. And then they'll go through and they'll do, you know, whatever that mistaken mascot name is as the team for each given week. So there's some pretty creative stuff that the NFL has done with that. NFL teams. We'll see what other teams do. What the Lions do, for that matter. Speaking of Lions, though, some comments made recently by Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's hyped. He's ready to go for this upcoming season. Quote, "I've been excited to get back to work. I feel like last year we had a disappointing season as a team. That's how we feel internally. Just been excited to get back to work. Motivated as ever. I feel like I'm motivated every year, but this year I feel like it was a little different." And I agree. Of course, last year was a down year. You had some of those question marks going in with the offensive line, some of the defensive pieces. Some of the early returns were looking pretty good, but then there were some warning signs in there. But then inevitably, once those injuries start piling back up again, of course, a couple of injuries being on the offensive line, and then your flaws on both sides get exacerbated. And then we saw that inevitable meltdown with the team at the end of the year where they racked up the losses against a couple teams that they should have beaten, no less. But again, I do think it was a best-case scenario. The Lions missing the playoffs, but combine that with a hot finish by the Vikings. The Lions still finishing with the winning record at 9-8, but they finished dead last in the division, setting them up for a little bit of an easier schedule this coming season. Now, even though on paper, their schedule is looking a little bit easier, the fact of the matter is the Lions do have to play much better in the division. I mean, you beat Chicago both games, great. But to be swept in both games by the Packers and the Vikings, especially the Vikings, completely inexcusable. Can't let that happen again. You can't perform that poorly in the division next season if this Lions team wants to go back in the playoffs, which I believe they will. This team will be back. I'm liking some of the moves that they made with the offensive line. Defensively, we'll see in terms of the depth, but I don't know, I just have the same vibes as we've had the last few years where the defense, if healthy, I think this could be one of the more potent defenses in the NFL, but that's the caveat, is if healthy. And I know the Lions are looking at doing some different things this year in terms of training camps and such, trying to, looks like, limit the training camp workload a little bit, hoping that that might get the trend going the other way with these injuries. Trying to do something different, which I don't blame them. I mean, you can argue some of the success by this Lions team the last few years has come with their training and preparation all the way back in training camp, sure. But maybe they've been overdoing it, and maybe that has contributed to some of these injuries. But we'll see what happens when we get to that time. But I'm optimistic for this Lions team. I do like what they did in the draft, specifically free agency, shoring up some holes. Nothing too fancy. They didn't really make any moves that, you know, blow the doors off. But just enough here and there that it's like, you know what, this is looking like a pretty solid roster top to bottom. Patching some holes here and there. And evidently, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he feels the same way. And obviously, he has some expectations of himself as well. He individually had a big season last year. But how does this Lions team take that next step? Get back to being a force in the NFC and try to lock and load for a deep playoff run. Watch that space. One more segment on the other side. As per usual lately, going to wrap up the show with some NBA, NHL playoff talk. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell, Hotspot, Bellinote, Ristorante, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water. So quick look at the NBA and NHL playoffs. Where are we at in the second round? Well, we have another team eliminated as we start with NBA. LA Lakers, they are done. 115 to 110 last night. They get swept by the Oklahoma City Thunder. OKC 8-0 in the playoffs. They swept the Phoenix Suns. And now have swept the LA Lakers. So they are, and hey, we knew going into the season, they were the favorites to repeat as NBA champions. And hey, they've definitely lived up to that here in the playoffs. So they'll get ample rest as the Minnesota Timberwolves, San Antonio Spurs series rages on. Game 5 tonight. With that series tied at 2 games apiece. But the other reason that I'm excited for that, at least I am excited for that result last night, is LeBron James swept again in his career. Played pretty poorly this series. He missed a layup that would have given his team the lead last night. Missed a layup. That's where all of his points are from, is inside the restricted arc. You can't make that one to take the lead in a playoff series. So Lakers are done. Could this be it for LeBron James? I certainly hope so. Of course, that's what the focus has been with the media. It hasn't been about OKC and their terrific playoff performances this season. As I mentioned, 8-0 in the playoffs so far. It's not about OKC. It's about what LeBron James is doing for the future. Only thing I hope is that that's it. I hope this is the last we see of this guy. I'm so over it. Longevity. Oh, he's 41. I'm over it. I'm so done. I'm so ready for this guy to be done. Let the NBA move on. They'll be fine without him. So goodbye, LA Lakers. Good riddance. As I mentioned, Timberwolves Spurs game 5 tonight. Cavs Pistons game 5 will be tomorrow night. As the second round already starting to wind down. We have a couple sweeps. The Knicks sweeping the Sixers. Thunder sweeping the Lakers. So should be pretty interesting moving forward. Meanwhile, for the NHL, of course, we already have one series in the can. Hurricanes with their 4-game sweep of the Flyers. Meanwhile, we have the Sabres and Canadiens playing in game 4 tonight. Canadiens at home up 2-1, looking to take a commanding 3-1 lead over the Buffalo Sabres. Trying to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals there in the NHL. Meanwhile, Vegas Golden Knights and the Anaheim Ducks in a big game 5 tonight. Series tied at 2. So that should be interesting. Only had one game last night, and that was the Avs and Wild. And this is a very physical, very heated series. Of course, these two teams don't like each other. Division rivals. Got very physical at times in this game. But it was the Avs coming away with a 5-2 victory. Obviously, with a couple empty net goals at the end, makes this one look like more of a blowout than what it was. Very close game otherwise. Minnesota actually led 1-0 in the first, and then early in the second, Nazem Kadri, trade deadline reacquisition, if you will, for this Avs team. He ties it up, and then early in the third, get a goal from Ross Colton, 2-1 Avs, and then Nico Sturm ties it up. And then barely 2 minutes later, Avs regain the lead, and then getting 2 empty net goals in the last minute. So really a 3-2 win for the Avs, 5-2, yes, with the empty net goals, but commanding 3-1 series lead. And the Avs now at home for Game 5 tomorrow. They have a chance to end it and move on to the Western Conference Finals again. I believe that would be the furthest they've made it since their Stanley Cup run in 2022. I don't think they've even made it to the conference finals since then. I know they had a disappointing first round series exit in there. I think they've otherwise been eliminated in the second round since then. I know it was the Stars last year. I think the year before that it was the Jets. Something like that. Anyways, Avs President's Trophy winners. I know that's been a bit of a curse really forever in the NHL. Team with the best record in the entire league gets the President's Trophy. But it just has not translated into postseason success. As a matter of fact, more recently has translated to more embarrassing early playoff exits, especially with the case of the Boston Bruins. What was it, 2 years ago? Anyways, we'll leave it there. That'll do it for the show today. We got the Tigers in action tonight against the New York Mets. Jack Flaherty on the mound. First pitch is at 7:10. Live right here on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Spurs Timberwolves game 5. Sabres Canadiens game 4. Ducks Golden Knights game 5. All those games tonight as well. And then tomorrow, Pistons Cavs game 5. Big one. We're going to be previewing that one tomorrow. For now, goodbye everybody.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.